the latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit.
Oh, kia ora, g'day and good evening, West Yorkshire. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One, and me and the boys are bringing you all of the rugby league gossip from around the world. Now in the studio this evening is Leon Price, Rob Parker and yours truly. Tonight we'll be speaking to Jamie Peacock ahead of his testimonial match against the Bulls at Headingley this weekend. And if you want to share your views, get in touch through the website at pulse1.co.uk or just use Twitter and hashtag RHP Show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Evening, boys. Evening.
Evening
to everyone out there listening at home or in your cars on your way home. Probably there'll be quite a few of you still on your way home because of the snow.
Yep.
Especially if you're coming out of Bradford. I haven't been anywhere else in West Yorkshire this afternoon.
Judging by your weather report, look out for the patchy flog. That's going to get you. Be careful of the patchy flog.
Patchy floggings.
Now, before we start picking on me, let's start picking on you. Now, last week we discussed Fingergate. That's the best way of calling it.
Fingergate.
So we're asking supporters whether or not you should have that middle finger, which is fused in a very awkward position for you.
Certainly is.
Have it on or have it off.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. It's not like a, you know, a t-shirt or a jumper. Do you take it on? Do you take it off? This is for life.
Well, you can put a t-shirt and a jumper back on.
It's for Christmas. It's for life.
This is what I was thinking. Well, that's right. This is what I was thinking. You know, years from now, when you're a granddad, how grossed out is your grandchild going to be? Is he, oh, I don't want granddad to pick me up. He hasn't got a finger.
I'm pretty sure if my face doesn't scare him away, then the finger won't have any impact. So I think I'll be all right though, mate.
You have a point. Now, the general consensus. I mean, Leon.
Yes.
We did ask you at the time, finger on or off?
Oh, I think it's pretty gross, really, at first when he was talking about it. I just can't believe that he'd even contemplate having it off. But after a careful consideration, maybe he's right. If it's causing him that much aggro, it must be quite doing his head in from actually to consider chopping your finger off.
Well,
it's crazy.
The general consensus is, as he draws on his finger now, the general consensus from all the Twitter followers has been basically to have it off.
Yeah, I'm pleased that they're flying the flag.
There was one of the Twitter followers has said, actually, her name was Brooke Parker.
Yeah, that might be my wife.
Familiar. She said, have it off. Anything to stop him moaning.
Yeah, well, listen, it does impede me, and it's you know, listen, this time next week, I will be an amputee. I don't know if there's some kind of like Masons group or something that I can then join, you know, where we can talk about our wounds and stuff like that.
Industrial injuries is good for that.
Well, yeah, that's...
Does it count, though? If you cut your finger off yourself,
I'm not cutting it off myself. I've not got like an axe or
injured through
shed
a rug
or anything.
It's been
like
injured
that.
Through a workplace. It's definitely...
Yeah, but you can't get away with saying it was an accident that the finger just fell off at work, because we've been discussing it for the last 2 weeks.
I'd get a claim in. Where's the blame? There's a claim.
I don't think it'll work that way, actually. Let's have a look at the weekend's matches that have just gone by. First game up, St. Helens lose to Witten. It's a bit of a tough game, that one.
A bit of a surprise, really. I think, from what I hear, Saints had a decent side out. Obviously,
there were quite a few young players, but yeah, they did have some names in there.
But Saints have that conveyor belt of talent, and age should never, you know, age is just a number, so...
They did have, I mean, they had like guys like Mossy Masai was starting in the front row. He had John Wilkins in the squad as well. So yeah, they did have some
decent mix, yeah. But even though it's, like I say, it's a friendly game, first game, you can't read too much into these games, but still a little bit of a surprise to me.
Now, Cass also beat Donny 32 points to 12. Good show from Championship side against Super League side.
Yeah, I think there has been. I think, you know, now that there is this, you know, promotion and relegation that we harp on every week, you know, there is now this kind of real big character dangle for these Championship teams to be staking the claim. And Donny have, you know, they were a good team last year. They came in the top four under Paul Cook, and obviously, you know, Leon, the Hull FC played them a couple of weeks ago. So he knows what they're about. And there's some good teams out there. So, yeah. They flew the flag well.
And again, talking about conveyor belts of talent, a young Leeds squad beat Hunslet 28 points to 14. So again, you're looking at some talent there, aren't you?
Yeah, Leeds are renowned for bringing their youngsters through, and their current squad of, you know, a championship winning team and a world club winning team for the last 5, 6, 7 years are all based around homegrown players, Sinfields, you know, Rob Burrows, Maguires, Chev Walkers. It's a continuous conveyor belt of great players, so that's what they're renowned for, and I'm sure they'll continue to do so.
All right, looking at another game in West Yorkshire, big one. Batley pumping Fev at home, 26 points to 6. Now, got to say this about Featherston. About Batley. They're a tough team to play, especially at Mount Pleasant, which, if you've ever been there, especially in January, ain't the most pleasant place in the world. It's an intimidating environment, and I think that's how the players like it, and it's also how the supporters like it.
Yeah, especially on a night like tonight, it'll probably look like the North Face or something like that, with a bit of snow on.
Right there on. I mean, Leon, you've played most of your career in the Super League, so I'm guessing you've never played at Mount Pleasant before?
I don't think I have played. It's one ground, I don't think I've played
have
before.
Have you ever been there?
I've been to watch. It's not a very nice place.
It is if you're a local supporter. Batley fans absolutely love it.
That's actually a strength for Batley.
It plays on quite lean.
I'm on about the hill and the lean, more than anything else. I'm not about the place, Batley. I'm on about just the feel. Don't get me in trouble
please
with Batley.
Fans.
I'm on about just the lean on the field. It doesn't look like a great place to play rugby, really. It reminds me of my old days playing for Queensbury when you'd run uphill first half and then run downhill second half and you'll get wind behind you. You'll do them in second
half. It was always a good tactic, wasn't it? Whichever way you lost the toss, I was going to choose that way, boys, because we're fitter than them and we'll get them in the second half when we're going downhill.
Well, both Fev and Batley had strong teams, but obviously someone that we all know very well, John Kerr, obviously looks after Batley team. He is one that has a real strength about pulling out the right words at the right time to motivate his players. By the looks of it, by the looks of all accounts, reading up on the game, they had full control of the game from the start of the game all the way to the finish. So it's sort of laying down their gauntlet for the championship teams over the course of the season.
Yeah, and there's been some, the neighbours, aren't they? So, again, I know we're going to come
on to neighbours. Fev and Batley.
Well, they're not far.
They come straight from Lancastrians.
They're both from Yorkshire, yeah.
Well, we're going to move on to the Liam Wigan game, but just before that,
I see the tenuous link there,
because we are going to have a look, because a lot of championship supporters from West Yorkshire probably would have had taken a lot of attention on that game between Lee and Wigan.
Yeah.
You were at the game. Obviously, Lee beat Wigan. I think it was
18 points to 14.
So a tough, close game, Rob. Give us your insight into that Lee team.
Well, let me make it clear that I only went because obviously the Bradford Huddersfield game got cancelled because of this lovely.
We sent you because you're a spy.
Yeah, undercover. It was a really good game and quite an entertaining game. Over 4,000 people at the Sports Village, and to be honest, Lee played really well. It's always going to be their big grand final. They're always seen as the little lepers in the borough of Wigan, and there's a small town mentality in Lee, so they wanted to really give Wigan a real good kind of a big message and send a good strong message out to the rest of the championship.
How many people turned out for the game?
4,123 off the top of my head.
That's a great turnout.
That is a real good turnout, and that's obviously a big, again, it's not party season tickets, so that's 4,000 and however many people paying through the gate.
Great to look at it commercially, Rob.
Yep, that's always, that's how we look at it now, but obviously it was the introduction to Lee's biggest, probably ever signing, I would say, for Moy Moy.
And how did he go?
He went all right.
I mean, to say that he's Lee's biggest ever signing, he's also...
apart from yourself, Robert.
one of the sport's biggest ever signings also. I mean, I was 35 when I signed there as well.
Yeah.
No, but he's also one of the sport's biggest signings. So there was a lot of attention shown towards that game because of that aspect. But Fui's only been in the country for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, he has only been in the country. I think he'd been over to New York and visiting some family in America. Then he came to England. Then he went over to Lanzarote, warm, training.
It sounds like he's just on a holiday.
Yeah. Well, again, they'll be seen. Listen, he played well. He played strong. He's a big guy. He's got some miles on the clock now at 35. But he did all right. I think Wigan handled him quite well. What Wigan failed to do is probably handle a couple of the other players well. Probably most notable of Liam Kerr, who's a Yorkshire lad. Liam had a really good game and came away with 3 tries, and he was interesting that he was up against Josh Charnley, the current England winger, and probably was the best winger on the field, so he looked really hungry.
Well, in the trades, he also got man of the match, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and came out really well. I think it was a mixture of kind of Lee playing really well. Wigan had a bigger side, so they actually changed a few things in the second half, with some young kids coming in the second half. But to be honest, I think the young kids actually played better than the more of the senior members. It wasn't up until probably, you know, the last couple of minutes that the game was sewn up for Lee, but Joe Burgess, he ran in the centres for Wigan, and he probably bombed two or three tries, which could have made a big difference.
But he's still a young player, and I guess to a certain extent, he's still getting up to speed on everything as well.
Yeah, but there was some real good talent on show, I think, both from Lee and from Wigan. You know, I know we're going to maybe come on to the future of our game, but there were some real good prospects that you know, Lancashire do seem to be kind of churning out, as well as looking at the Leeds kind of model with them kind of players. But it was a good afternoon of rugby, so really getting excited for the start of the season.
Cool, mate. Thank you very much. Well, that was a weekend there was, and there's loads more to cover this evening, including chatting to the most decorated Super League player of all time, that man, Jamie Peacock. All that and more coming up after the break, so stay with us here on Pulse 1.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880. Pulse 1.
The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Hey, West Yorkshire HP here. We're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening here on Pulse 1. And remember, if you want to get in touch and throw us a question or just drop us a line, you can contact us on pulse1.co.uk or on Twitter and just hashtag RHP show. And because we were discussing whether or not Rob Parker should have his middle finger removed, let's just say if you want to just put in an on or off, and by the end of the show we'll have a definitive answer what the general consensus out there is, whether keep it or throw it away. Alright, this weekend sees Jamie Peacock's testimonial match against the Bulls at Headingley, but first let me paint the picture of the man. He started his career at the Bulls, where he picked up two World Clubs, two Challenge Cups and three Super League titles. He then went on to play for the Bulls' arch rivals, Leeds Rhinos, helping them to another two World Club titles and five more Super League titles. And last year, rounding off the journey for that Leeds squad, picking up that elusive Challenge Cup win. He's a former GB and England international, as well as also a former captain, former Man of Steel, and in 2012, due to this amazing career, he was appointed member of the British Empire. Also note that he is the second oldest, he corrected me, the second oldest player in the Super League. Ladies and gentlemen, that man, Jamie Peacock. JP, welcome aboard. Mate, how are you doing? I know you're a busy man. You're off, rushing off to do some work this evening?
Yeah, that's right. I'm just on the way to speak at the Leeds Beckett University. But yeah, I've been pretty busy man this week trying to promote the testimonial. I'm trying to get as many people through the gate as possible. You know how it is, Robbie.
I do know exactly how you feel. How's the testimonial going anyway?
Yeah, it was great. We had a good launch. We had the dinner with Sam Burgess. He came up, kindly drove up from Bath. We had a good evening, me, Sam and Adrian Mahler. That was a really good event. And then this last one's really the big thing, the game. And then I've just got one more event for the fans after that, and then it's finished with just a quick 3-month testimonial.
So how's it been? You know, obviously testimonials, as anyone that's experienced, which I have, can be tiring, but how's it been for you in particular?
Yeah, it's been okay. It's been good, actually. I've had a good team around myself, and obviously if you've got good people around, it's like a rubber team, to be honest. It makes your job easier, and they've all been great with that. And I think just with it being a 3-month one, it's just been a little bit shorter, and there's not as much to worry about from doing a 12-month one.
Now, the million-dollar question is, mate, obviously you will know that you're the oldest man in the Super League, one of only 12 players, actually, that started playing or made their debuts in the 1990s. You're that old. The million-dollar question for everyone is, how long are you going to play for?
Right, I'll just correct you right there. Adrian Morley's still playing, and he's older than me. He's 6 months older than me. So he'll be 38.
He'll
still be playing
that,
this year.
He'll argue against
that. Oh, no, he will. He's from Salford, isn't he? So, yeah, look, this is it. This is my final season, and I'm looking to hopefully go out on a banger and maybe finish at Old Trafford. I'd love to bow out at Old Trafford and win the Super League there.
Okay, then life after rugby. What are you looking forward to?
I'm at the university at night, and I've gone back to university to get some higher education. And I'm looking to be involved in management within sport and TV as well. A little bit like yourself, Robbie. You combine the both, and that's what I'd like to do.
With the difference between me and thee, though, JP, you're a front rower and I'm a halfback. Now, halfbacks are known for being able to read a sentence or two, but front rowers, you know, you guys are supposed to be the just the donkeys in the middle of the park.
Yeah, I'm the exception that breaks the rule there, Robbie.
You definitely are, mate. Mate, for the Rhinos, how are preparations going for 2015?
It's gone really well. We've trained exceptionally hard. I think that's one area we've looked at and we need to be better at, to train harder and to prepare better for games, and that's something we're doing right now. And it's gone well, and now we're just looking forward to the big game, really, the Derby game. It's our only real hit out of the pre-season, and I think it's going to be a great game and one we're looking forward to. And then straight into playing OKR away, and I think with the new structure, it's exciting for everybody within the league, and it really puts an onus on finishing higher up the table. That's something we've not been good at in recent years, so it's something we're looking to be better at.
Well, last season you trailed off after that, after putting that last piece of the puzzle, I guess, for you guys by picking up the Challenge Cup win. It kind of just trailed off in quite a disappointing way for you individually and collectively, I guess.
Yeah, it was a very disappointing way to finish the season. I think it was great to win the Challenge Cup, but we needed to be a lot better in the other games outside the Challenge Cup, and we lost some of our edge. And you need to be as good as you possibly can to beat the teams at the back end of the year. And it was a really disappointing way to bow out to a season where I thought we played well for the majority of it. I think early on we were the best team in the league, and then we won the Challenge Cup, and then to finish that way, to fizzle out, is not what this club's about, and it's something we're looking at put right this season.
Well, actually, with such a professional organisation and outfit and bunch of players that you compete alongside of, it still must have been extremely sweet to pick up that Challenge Cup and put that last piece of the puzzle in there.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I mean, it was a fantastic feeling. It was a fantastic feeling to win the Challenge Cup, and also to win it for Leeds. You know, I've won it with Bradford before, and it was great times within that, you know, in Murrayfield and at Cardiff, but to win it with your hometown club and with the lads who've lost it so many times, it was an amazing feeling to do that.
Definitely, and I'm just looking at, I mean, I'll be looking back at your collection of silverware. Mate, you've picked up Challenge Cup medals before with both Bradford and Leeds now. I think I'm right in saying that you've picked up 8 Super League titles?
Yeah, that's it, 8, yeah.
I mean, Super League. Any more than that, you're running out of fingers. You've only got 2 thumbs left, so there's no more rings that we can fit. You basically had a pretty greedy career, though, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been greedy throughout my career. Look, I've been lucky. I've been really lucky as a player. I was in 2 great teams. I was in a great team at Bradford, but with yourself involved there, and some great times there. Then fortunate enough to go to another great team in the Leeds Rhinos team. And in a team sport, as you know, Rob, it's not about the individual. You need to have some great players alongside you, and I've been blessed in being able to do that. And been fortunate to get to the grand finals and win them, and I'll look back, I think, when my career's finished and realise how lucky I've been.
Well, looking forward to this Sunday's game against the Bradford Bulls. What do you expect from Bradford this year? Obviously, demoted down into the Championship this year, but still competing as a Super League side. Had a good run out against Castleford. It must be a tasty encounter coming up.
Yeah, definitely. It's a huge derby game for ourselves. Speaking to some of our players, we're looking forward to it. I mean, I think a lot of the Leeds lads and myself looked at the fixture list, and the first thing we looked for was the Bradford game. So we're not going to have that this year. So it's the only derby. It's our only pre-season warm-up. So we've got great incentive to go out there and play well. And I'm sure the Bradford lads have as well. I think Bradford will be good this year. You've got a great coach there in Jimmy Lowes. And I'm not going to put them through in our pre-season. You've got some good players. So I'm expecting a very tough game.
Well, I mean, looking at Jimmy also, obviously, former Leeds boy, came across to Bradford, back coaching, coached Bradford, coached Leeds as well, and then back at Bradford again. You would agree with me. He, even though he probably won't say this publicly, you'd agree with me. He'll probably take this personally also.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a great player, as Jimmy, and he's been a great player to play alongside. I think when I was coming through, it was an honour to play alongside Jimmy. He was that good a player, and I think he'll do a fantastic job for the Bulls.
Well, JP, thank you very much. As I said, thank you for giving up your time to be on the show with us this evening. I know you're a busy bloke, obviously running from pillar to post. Good luck this weekend. Not too much luck, obviously, for obvious reasons. But I hope you enjoy yourself and you get through unscathed.
Thanks for that, Robbie. Cheers for that. And thanks for having me on the show, mate.
Now, their pre-season friendly against the Bulls is this Sunday, the 25th of January. 3 p.m. kickoff at Headingley. You can get tickets to the game from the Providence Stadium up until Saturday or at the match itself. You can also get tickets through the club's website. So that's bradfordbulls.co.uk or leedsrugby.com and just click on the Leeds Rhino section. That's absolutely brilliant, isn't it? And JP's had a fantastic career. I got to admit, I remember travelling back from Tenerife. Lanzarote, a pre-season week away when we did all the training out in the good weather, and JP sat next to me, and he's sitting there, and I didn't really know JP. There was a young player coming up, and he's sitting there with the crossword puzzle book, and he sits there and he's just writing down, he's just filling it in, and I've never seen anyone do it quick, and I just thought to myself, is he taking the mickey out of me here? Is he winding me up? But he was dead set, hands down. He was answering every question perfectly. I got to admit, I was impressed. So, again, one of the quickest men I've met in the game of rugby league. Not out on the field, but definitely with the way he approaches psychological approach to the game anyway. Okay, stick with us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back soon. We'll hear more from the boys and we'll be discussing all of the hot topics from the world of rugby league. All that and more coming soon, so stay tuned.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880. Pulse One.
On 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
You're listening to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. Don't forget, we want your insight. So tweet us using hashtag RHP show. Should Rob Parker have that finger on or off?
Take it off.
Yeah, do you think he wants it taken off? I want him to keep it on, but we'll leave it up to you guys. In this section, we'll be discussing all the hot topics from around the world of rugby league. But before we go forward, I want to go back a little bit, just talking about JP's testimonial match this weekend. It's a derby between Bradford and Leeds, which should be exciting. But there was another derby on this weekend. We actually skipped past it. Big Leon over there, yep. Across the... Well, I not say big. Big's the wrong word. We say long, tall, Leon.
Long.
You're not big. You're just
beautiful,
long.
Beautiful, whatever you want to say.
It's longer than a fortnight.
Lord Longington's.
That's me.
You played in your first...
The Dark Destroyer.
You played in... Destroyer. You played in your first...
Whole derby.
What was that like?
It was good, yeah.
I got to admit... You can't see it at home, but we've been watching him walking around the studio this evening. He looks like a broken old man.
Oh, yeah, I'm a little bit injured, but I'll get through it. You know, I'm tough. No, I played, obviously, my first whole derby. It was really, really good experience. Played in front of, 10,000 people. Crazy. All fans. All gunning for each other's blood.
They do have an hatred, don't they, for each other?
I've seen hatred within the Bradford and Leeds and the St. Helens, Wigan. You know, obviously, being a Bradford bloke, I... despise Leeds as well, and
very diplomat.
You said that about Batley. Now you've said that about Leeds. I'll tell you what, I'm just trying to be honest.
But the fans over there, they have a real dislike for each other, and it was just great to be involved. Obviously, it was only a friendly, but you know, the fans don't take it as a friendly, and that was a great experience.
Good experience, great experience.
Yeah, we lost by 6 points, but it was a friendly.
Yeah, how was the game? Yeah,
the game was good. Yeah, the game was tough first half.
You had a grip of the game, 22 points to 6
points
in the first
six
half.
Time,
and
yeah.
Then it all falls apart. Is that all about building suspense and a little bit of thing for the season to come?
Well, we were winning until they took me off. So that tells us all story.
Should we just leave it there? I was at Gareth Schofield's. We'll have noted that.
Yeah, blame it on me. It'll be my fault.
Mate, you can say... Scully, you need to stop picking on Leon. He's getting emotional about it. You say they went until they pulled you off, but it could have been 22 points to 20 at that stage.
I'm only joking. We got out of the game what we wanted. The first half we played very well. Radders decided to put some subs on. We made 7 or 8 interchanges. They played very, very well, taking nothing away from them in the second half.
Campese
looks good for them. The scrum half, the young lad from the Gold Coast, I think he is, Aboriginal guy, he looked good. And they dominated the second half. It was a tale of two halves. We dominated the first, they dominated the second, and we lost.
Did you come out of it unscathed, injury-wise?
No, yeah. Not obviously. Have you seen him moving around the studio tonight?
I just thought it was like a new kind of...
He's moving slowly.
Just hold on.
I just thought it was some kind of like new
walk.
He's
a veteran.
As they refer to me now, in all rugby league articles, veteran standoff Leon Price.
The much travelled.
It hurts. It hurts.
Let's call you old, mate. Yeah. We're 33 years of age, but in saying that, like we mentioned in the bit with JP, you are one of 12 players that started playing, well, made their debuts during the 90s.
Yep.
That's a long career.
Yeah, 1998.
But you were 16 at the time.
1698, Salford at home. Should have scored a try. I think you passed me the ball and I tried to barge the big winger out of the way instead of just diving on floor and scoring and got bundled in a touch or something. But yeah, that were...
You were used to doing that at a young age. Yeah, your instinct just, was to get out of the way.
Yeah. I'm only about 80 kilos wet through, wasn't I? Skin bag and bag of bones.
There's nothing wrong with 80 kilos, man. I played my whole career at that weight.
But yeah, it's good. It's good to be still around. Obviously, people refer to you as a veteran, which is a bit annoying when really you're not really that old. But it's good to be still flying the flag for us.
Let's just run through that list. I think one of 12, but you were saying tonight that actually Lee Gilmore has hung up his boots. So we're looking at Gareth Ellis, who's enjoying a testimonial match this weekend. But we'll get back to that in a little bit. Jamie Jones Buchanan, Ali Lau Titi, Kylie Lulawai, Andy Lynch, Adrian Morley, Jamie Peacock, Leon Albom,
myself,
Kevin Sinfield, Paul Wellens, and Ben Westwood. All good names. All high category international players.
Well, thank you very much. Obviously, there's a reason why they still go out playing, and you know, of that determination and that little bit of luck as well with injuries. I think the big thing for players still playing at an older age is staying away from injuries. If you can avoid the big ones, then that's the key to playing a long time.
Well, okay, so let's have a look back at the Derby scene. Now, as Derbies goes, obviously, Leon, we know the clubs that you've played for. You didn't have much of a Derby with Catalans, but St. Helens, you've got to measure it against. Bradford, Leeds, and obviously you've now experienced the whole. Rob, you're a different kettle of fish. You've played at like 18 different rugby league clubs.
More clubs than Tiger Woods, mate.
So let's talk derbies. Which are the best derbies?
Well, they're all different angles. Like, I'm not going to say that one's the best. I can't say that one's the best. To me personally, beating Leeds at Headingley is it's unbeatable for me.
Yeah,
beating Leeds
wrong,
in a grand final is unbeatable.
It's Millennium Stadium was up there as well.
Because you obviously grew up as a Bradford.
That's what I'm saying. So personally, I'm saying that. But
what are the St. Helens Wigan?
The best. The best. My favourite game to play ever. Yeah.
Well, you just said the Leeds.
I know. Well, I'm just trying to be diplomatic.
He's now actually been. He's found his diplomacy skills.
Yeah,
I've
got to try to be a little bit diplomatic every now and again.
So I mean, but how do they differ?
I think just from the hatred from the fans, the passion from the fans, they're not bothered about the games during the season. They just want you to win that one game. Listen, they come up to you, they say, listen, I'm not bothered where we're finishing table. Just make sure you get those lot beat next week. And you lay that whole year, you lay that. That's all
they
say.
See, this is from someone from down under. You don't have that sort of rivalry. This is why I understand the UK has been the most tribal country in the whole world. You know, we can watch National Geographic and all of these, and we look at these tribes and still, you know, living in grass huts and stuff, but actually British people are so tribal. These invisible lines you have on the ground, I come from this village and I hate them across here. They're your name. They're actually the same family.
If I could describe it, and the rugby games, rugby fans are quite special because we all mix together. We can sit next to each other and cheer our teams on, and even if it's a derby, we're still pretty pleasant towards each other. But the whole derby, it's more of a football atmosphere where you know that the fans are not allowed to be near each other, and you know that there would be violence if they really wanted to. They would go that far because that's how much they dislike each other.
So the atmosphere in the cauldron of the playing pitch itself, it must be electric.
Yes, it is, and that was only a friendly. I mean, once it gets to where there's 2 points available or it's a Challenge Cup game, I know it's going to go to the next level and I can't wait for it.
Rob Parker, your favourite derby match?
Lee East against Lee Miners.
Same thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're from the same town.
Yep, exactly.
There's
same
invisible
town.
Line
and there's some bragging
in the ground.
Rights, yeah.
But the thing is, a lot of those players will switch clubs.
They have.
Depending upon what jumper you pull on.
Yeah. Red and black, or black and yellow over in Lee. But they don't have the state of origin. They have the street of origin in Lee. Which I think they actually did. They held a testimonial game for Mickey Iam, who obviously much travelled. So they had a street of origin, and Lee Miners came on top. So
what is it? What is it about you guys?
It's just bragging rights, isn't it? It's,
I mean,
kind of
my parents. Hi, mum and dad. My parents are listening down under. So what is it about? Explain to my parents. Explain to all of those from outside the UK who will be listening, because this is a globally listened to radio show. Explain to them, what is it about you guys?
I've got one for you straight away, an analogy that you can relate to that you will get. Did you always want to beat Henry?
Yes.
Did you always try and outdo Henry for bragging rights?
No.
Come on.
No, I didn't.
Well, that's why he's a better person than you, because he actually wanted to beat you every time.
Right, he was
and
2 years old.
It's just bragging rights. It's been able to kind of flaunt around town, do you know what I mean? Make it, you know, feel a little bit special about yourselves that you've kind of earned that right. And it's just, it's a bit of pride from the, you know, from the town. You carry that with you.
The closest thing, I guess, the way you're explaining it, the closest thing, I guess, I can personally liken it to, and I'm sure you guys will understand, is when New Zealand beats Australia.
Yeah,
and when, similar. You know, England beats Australia. It's that thing where actually you get in the trenches together,
yeah,
and be a band of brothers, but you still want the bragging rights when it comes to sports.
Yeah, and that's what it is. We play the game. I know, obviously, you know, now that players get paid and get paid well. But if we strip all that down, you want to go and win, don't you? You want to be, we all sort of share, you know, a common kind of goal that we all want to be winners.
Let's be honest, as an Englishman and you as a Kiwi, we both share the same passion of disliking Australian sports. You know, not just disliking them, absolutely despising them.
He's obviously forgotten those diplomacy skills he had 10 minutes ago.
I'm not sure if we've had the Leon run.
No, I'm feeling alright today.
Yeah,
it's just the Leon, you know, hatred today.
Yeah, I just got a lot of dislike in blood at the moment.
Okay, let's stay on you, Leon. Quite interesting. One of the hot topics today, Kieran Cunningham talking about the value that Sean Long brings back to St. Helens as a squad. So he could be the key to keeping a hold of the Super League Championship competition this year. You know, you played with both Kieran, you played with Longy as well. Yeah. What do you think, as a coach, you'll be able to bring to that squad?
Well, if I'm honest, I think Longy, if I'm honest, really, is probably the most influential player that's affected me over my career. His knowledge of the game's the best I've ever seen. His attacking knowledge, he's a student of the game. And I'm hoping that if he gets his head down and teaches the players what he taught me and you know, his knowledge of the game, then I think he'd be a massive influence on the Saints team.
You say there, if he keeps his head down. Now, he has been one of those players that are known for walking that fine line between madness and greatness, you know, as a magician, so to speak. That is something that he will have to do, because as a coach, you're no longer a player where you can get away with quite a few things, isn't it? You have that responsibility as a role model as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is one of his probably last chances at such a big club. He'll maybe never get the chance to work at the club where he is a legend, is admired by the fans, admired by the players, and he could have a massive influence over that team this year, and he won't ever get this chance again if he ruins it. So I'm really, really hoping, as a friend, that he really takes most of this opportunity.
Now, there was discussions ongoing in last year's Four Nations competition that a player like Sean Long's talent, someone of that talent, was the key missing from that England squad. Do you agree with that?
I think I would probably agree with it, you know, and that's not to detract anything away from, you know, the current halfbacks. Yeah, Smith or Widdop. But again, you know, from this, take it however you want, but, you know, It's a cutthroat industry that we live in. Now we're going back to promotion and relegation. I would think that key people across the kind of spectrum of every position in rugby league, halfbacks is one of the areas that we're lacking, you know, for good English talent, because there's people like yourself that came over because you were good at what you did, and Henry, and, you know, look at all the other people that came over because you had something to add to the kind of team. And it is horses for courses. And I think, you know, obviously we've had people like, you know, Deeks and Leon and Sean Long, who were kind of good players, but you can look at all the other specifics with the Burgess brothers and Daryl Clark. They've all been experts in their area. Yeah. We just seem to be lacking a real world-class halfback.
But if you look across the other positions, there seems to be a plethora of talent within the English ranks.
Yeah, I agree.
The one element where there isn't a lot of depth is in the half. So how do we fix that?
But for me, I think that comes down a lot to coaching. I think the quality of coaching
and development that you
gain as a youngster has a hell of a lot to do with the positions. If you're a 6 and a 7 and a 9, what you gain from a very, very good coach like Daniel Anderson or somebody like that can teach you the game properly, sets you in the sense to become a world-class player. He changed my game.
So do you think that Sean Long, his impact and influence into St. Helens and Rugby League, he could be the bit of a difference that could hopefully bring a world-class, you know, scrum half to the international game?
Maybe.
Well, the time will tell. Ladies and gents, we've got loads still more to talk on the hot topics front. Don't go anywhere. You're with Robbie Hunter-Paul on Pulse 1.
The Robbie Hunter-Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.
Pulse 1.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1.
You're listening to the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1, and we are still on the hot topics of rugby league for this last section of the show. Gents, come up in the press this week, former Giants and St. Helens coach Nathan Brown is tipped to join Manly this season. Now, to go from Super League champion, which obviously Nathan Brown was last year with St. Helens, to not having a club a month out from the start of the season, that's a bit of a surprise, isn't it? And actually, and on that note, with Manly also, though, we found out this week that also Luke Burgess has set to sign, has signed with Manly this week.
Yeah, I think on the Nathan Brown thing, it is a surprise he's not got a club a little bit sooner, but we've got to remember the reason why he went back there was family reasons. He'd obviously had enough of Super League, and he wanted to get his children back into Australian school, and or whatever his reasons may be, but his reasons for going back to Australia wasn't to join a club, was it? So
yeah, well, he actually had planned to go back years earlier, but they had a bit of they had an accident. They had a fire in the family home back in Australia. So he stayed on with St. Helens. He went from Huddersfield to St. Helens, stayed on with St. Helens, and waited for the rebuild of the house, which obviously has done now. But
yeah.
Be a great acquisition for Manly.
Yeah, and I think at this point in his career, I think he was a little bit young when he took over the Dragons before. After speaking to him on a night out over a few beverages in Manchester, he was telling me he was too young, he had too much of a relationship with the players, and to come over to Super League and to learn probably a little bit more about himself and learn more coaching strategies. And now to go back, I think it'll be a really good time for him.
Well, that's right. He was one of the hottest young prospects in Australian Rugby League as a hooker. I remember he was a curly blonde-headed wonder from down under, but then he got a bad injury to his neck and actually entered the coaching setup at St. George Illawarra very early in his career, promoted to the first team coach. So you can understand, because a lot of his peers as a player would have been those same guys he was now coaching. So how do you distance yourself? So actually the break coming to the Super League, probably a very good thing for him.
Yeah, I know from speaking to other kind of ex-players that have then, you know, gone into the coaching world, it is a hard thing, because one minute you're mates with the guys, you're going out for a beer, and then the next thing you know, you're trying to be, you know, get up that hill, get do that, you know, and you're barking orders at them, and it can put you under a bit of a pressure. And I think it's good for sometimes for players who want to get into coaching to go to a different club, you know, learn
where
the trade.
Don't have those relationships.
Yeah, let that 2 or 3 years of kind of those senior players then coming through, leaving the club, and then come back, as maybe Jimmy's done, for example.
I understand, and I think, I can see the logic there. Rob, moving on to the next point, one of the hottest sort of compatibilities with players coming together, what would be seen as two of the big stars of the halfback world, Michael Dobson, Rangi Chase this season, partnering at Salford. How do you think that's going to work? Because I don't think we've yet to see someone that can partner Rangi.
I agree. I think it's something that I was very surprised with at first. I know he wants to be on the ball 80% of the time. And if you watch Dobbo when he played at Hull KR, he wanted to be on the ball 80% of the time. So how are they going to complement each other? I think it's going to be one of the most interesting things to watch out for this season, if they can complement each other.
I'm with Leon on that. I think it can either go one of two ways, and this is not to sit on the fence. They'll either be world class, or they'll be kind of left side and the right side of Salford Reds.
I mean, they've always been the big, Salford over the last 2 years have acquired big, they've made a lot of noise, they've got talent across the park, but it's not glued up. Obviously, Yeston Harris being brought in the middle of last year after they let go of Brian Noble wasn't the best thing. It's never going to be the greatest fit for any team, because you've got to come in, learn a new system. Now, Yston Harris had a full preseason under his belt with them. I think they played Swinton last weekend. Massive win over them. I think 66
points to 4. I actually spoke to John Duffy, who's the Swinton head coach who both you and I played with, and I think speaking with John Duffy, he said that probably his players got a bit starstruck in the first half, because there's a big kind of void in talent there, isn't there? And they did kind of come up against Kevin Locke and people of that calibre that they may never do again. So
make no mistakes about it, this is a superstar team.
Yeah,
as 100%. Well, this is a superstar team, Salford.
Alan Blowtrotters of rugby league.
And by all rights, their owner Mau and Kukesh, he should expect results from them.
You would think so when you invest that kind of money. It happened at Chelsea Football, who I know Bradford City are going to, you know, under the Abramovich era. So again, you know, that actually did come about. Just to let you know, I think Bradford City will turn Chelsea over, and good luck to the Bantams next week.
It's made producer Ewan very Bradford. happy, and it's also made Leon extremely happy. Both big Bradford City fans they are, and good luck to Bradford City. We all love a giant killer. Another hot topic, Joel Monaghan first been given the captaincy of Warrington, and he's a winger, but he also thinks that Daryl Clark is the best number nine in the world, better than Cameron Smith. Now, interesting that, because he's played alongside Cameron and he's also played against him.
I think it's something that would be hard to really work out until we've seen Daryl Clark on that's the stage of the NRL. So once he's probably played a little bit better on the world stage and maybe gone out to the NRL, then Cameron Smith still has it for me.
Yeah, I'm probably with Leon, but the most kind of intriguing thing is a winger being captain. Is that allowed?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure. It just seems a strange one. He's very experienced, but your normal, typical captain is someone who plays in the middle.
He has a massive influence on that team last season.
I mean, he has a massive influence because he scores a lot of good tries at the right times. He can get over the try
line. And I think Chris Hill is also the vice-captain, which I think is a good step
move.
Up for Chris Hill.
Great development.
Good move. And I think he will be the future captain.
Let's remember as well, the people that appoint these captains see these guys training every day. They see how they act on the field and off the field, so they know better than us.
Yeah, I'd agree with Leon on that one as well.
Okay, well, that's it for this week. My thanks to our studio guests, Jamie Peacock, Dream Teamers Leon Price and Rob Parker. And to all of you for listening at home or in your cars tonight, make sure you join us next Wednesday. Total Access is next here on Pulse 1. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul. Thanks for listening, and make sure you enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. See you next week, and enjoy everything that comes your way.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1. Every Wednesday evening from 6.